Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we continue to serve those of you who are unemployed. Nick Korkadilos is the man behind Ask the Headhunter, the website by that name, and he joins us now, as he is each Thursday this month. Last week we talked about consulting work, and Nick had lots of good advice about being aggressive in your approach to potential employers and kind of the fine line between what a consultant is and what a regular job seeker is. Today we're going to focus on how to shine when it comes to job boards, those online receiving houses for resumes and job postings, and why Nick thinks that they are sometimes even a sham. And we'll continue to keep our phone lines open, as we do when Nick comes on, 212-433-WNYC, if you're looking for work right now, or even if you're not, 212-433-9692, on the topic today of online job boards. So Nick Korkadilos, Ask the Headhunter, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. It's great to be back with you.
So a job board seems like a straightforward, good idea. Post your resume online, get lots of eyeballs on it. But you seem to think it's pretty easy to at least get lost in the sea of resumes, right?
It's not just a question of getting lost. It's a question of how the job boards actually perform, Brian. What's interesting is that back in 2000, a market research firm called Forrester Research up in Boston did a survey of job hunters and employers and asked them how effective online job hunting and hiring really was. And what's interesting is they found that only about 4% of people who were job hunting said they found their jobs online. Now, that's back in 2000. There's another company called Career Crossroads based in New Jersey that's done the only longitudinal study of job board performance. And what's interesting is that over the succeeding 9 years, including this past year, they report right about the same percentage of people finding their jobs and companies hiring. So only between 1.5 to 3.5% of jobs that companies post or actually fill are actually filled through job boards. So when you look at those statistics, they're absolutely dismal. On the flip side, studies over the same period show that most jobs are found and filled through, guess what, personal contacts.
So these numbers that you gave us are pretty staggeringly low. The percentage of hires made through Monster, a whopping 1.4%. Hot Jobs, 0.39% of hires. Career Builder, 0.29%. Headhunter.net, 0.27, in other words, 0.25%. Wow.
I'll tell you what absolutely cracks me up is that when you look at HR departments who were also polled and asked which of the boards do you have most of your contracts with for recruiting, the ones that perform the worst are the ones that have the most contracts with human resources departments in American business.
But it's not like it's a complete waste of time, right? It just takes a few minutes to put your resume up there, and somebody's getting jobs through those things, whoever those, you know, 0.25% people are, and Monster seems to do 6 times better than the other ones.
Whenever I do a live presentation and I talk to job hunters, I always poll people for a show of hands who found a job through a job board. There's always one or two people out of 50 or 100 who tell me they found one that way. What I try to get across to them is if you want to do it intelligently, there are different kinds of job boards. The major job boards tend to be the worst performing. The better job boards tend to be the niche job boards, which attract people who work in a particular industry or professional area, who tend to aggregate around those boards because they also have discussion areas. People tend to hang around and talk to one another. And then most significant are companies' own hiring websites. Something like 20% of positions that companies fill tend to come from their own job postings on their own corporate websites. So if you're going to do it, you want to get as close as you can to the company, to the specific industry, through a niche board, rather than going to these huge free-for-all sites that really don't produce much at all.
That's good advice about the niche job boards, I think. Let's take a phone call. Claire in Westfield. You're on WNYC. Hi, Claire.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Claire.
I'm doing well, thank you. I just have a question about submitting resumes and cover letters. I was wondering if it's preferred to submit them via regular mail or internet email.
When you submit them to whom? To a job board or to a company?
To a company. If you're doing a direct mailing, would it be better to do it via email or snail mail?
If I were going to use a resume at all, which I wouldn't, and I'll tell you in a minute why, if I were to use a resume at all, I would probably send it in by U.S. mail for the simple fact that everyone else is using email. Now, email is efficient. I love email. But if you were to send something in via U.S. mail, I think you'll find it might get a little more attention because it's going to be on a shorter stack.
Okay.
But beware when you do that. It's easy to blast out 1,000 resumes by just hitting the Enter key on your keyboard. If you're going to send one out by U.S. mail, now you have to go through a lot more trouble, which forces you, and this is the good old days approach of actually having to stop and think and carefully choose, what companies are you going to go after? So this has a nice bit of fallout on the positive side for you, because it's going to force you to stop and think about who you're sending those resumes to.
But
that, I believe, will increase your chances.
Shouldn't she do both, send it via email and send a copy in snail mail?
You can. I mean, Brian, I tend to look at this from the standpoint of where am I going to invest my effort and make the most intelligent approach. If I blast it out via email, that's fine. It'll wind up in a stack somewhere. But there's also a danger. If HR receives your email resume and processes it quickly using a machine, and they discard it, they put an X on it. It gets tagged no. Then your paper resume comes in. Someone looks up your name, and they find you've already been rejected. It's easy to put you aside.
Mm. Yeah, or you just say in the cover letter, I've also submitted by email, and in the email version, I'm also sending a U.S. mail version, so they don't think you're trying to circumvent something, but it shows some effort.
I agree. One way is playing the odds, because you're competing with literally tens of thousands of people,
right,
while the other is more direct and personal.
Yeah. Claire, good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
And 212-433-WNYC. If you want to talk to headhunter Nick Corcadillos, 212-433-9692, especially on job boards. Now, what about that little bombshell you dropped in there? Don't use resumes.
When a company turns to job boards or to want ads or to the traditional channel for finding people, what they wind up getting is lots and lots of input. They get hundreds of resumes, thousands of applicants, and they might spend $10 or $20 per resume that they're getting. On the flip side, companies also go to headhunters, whom they might pay $20,000 to $30,000 to fill a position. What do they get in exchange for that? They get two or three candidates who've already been vetted. If you're going to go the resume route, I think you're playing in the mass market. Far more intelligent and focused, I think, and it also goes back to what I was saying to Claire about your motivation and picking companies carefully. Go talk to the companies you want to work for. Triangulate. Figure out who knows the company. Talk to their vendors. Talk to their customers. Talk to their lawyer. Talk to their real estate agent, whoever rents them their building. Talk to people who work there and try to triangulate on the manager who has an open position and get yourself introduced. Far more effective. Now you're dealing with the 40 to 70% of positions that are filled through personal contacts. You increase your odds dramatically.
All right, listeners, you ready to throw out your resume and do it that way? 212-433-WNYC. And let's see, we'll get back to another caller in a minute. I got to ask you about something on your Ask the Headhunter website. One of your features, top 10 stupid interview questions. And number 8 is one that a recruiter asked one of your readers, who you call Mr. Angry. And the question was, how would you move Mount Fuji a half a kilometer to the south? And part of Mr. Angry's let's come back to reality response, you said, was, how could that possibly benefit the business? Now, that's a pretty daring thing for somebody at a job interview to say. I assume you don't actually recommend that. But why would a recruiter ask how to move Mount Fuji?
Well, let me go back to what you just said. I would recommend that, and here's why. When you go to a company, they're assessing you. They're interviewing you. You're also there to assess and interview them. And I can't tell you, between my blog, email I get, my newsletter, Brian, how many people are becoming much more assertive and basically saying to an employer, yes, I might love to work here, but I need to know that you guys are worthy of having me. And does that sound aggressive? I just think it's assertive. If you're going to work for a company, what you want to do in the interview is somehow, politely, I'm not suggesting getting the interviewer upset or being rude, you want to turn the conversation away from the top 10 stupid interview questions and to one very specific question. You want to say to the manager, if you were to hire me, can you tell me what task it is that you would want me to do? And let me show you how I would go about doing it for you profitably. So you're turning away from silly, canned interview questions, and you're talking about the work you do best, the work they need to have done. You stop sweating. You stop being nervous, because now you're talking about what you're really good at. and it puts the interview on a totally different footing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess if you're in the mountain moving business, then the Mount Fuji question is pretty relevant. If you're in the restaurant business, not so much. Andy in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Brian. I had a quick. We actually do a lot of hiring, and I use headhunters. I use niche job boards. I use large job boards.
For what?
One comment and one question.
For what kind of business, if I may ask?
I have a restaurant group. We hire top management. We hire, you know, daily workers. Everything in between.
And you don't move a lot of mountains.
No.
It just feels.
There's some customers for whom we move. No,
it feels like you do every night. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
The comment was I've never understood how these objectives get to the top of resumes or what people are being told is their purpose. It's one of the things that drives me absolutely nuts with the resume is reading that little one paragraph objective. So if I can suggest anything to anyone listening, it would be. You know, if you can distill it to a sentence, good, and then if you can throw that sentence away, even better. But
thank you, Andy.
my question is this. We've had, for whatever reason, I have good luck with headhunters. I'm a good headhunter. But Craigslist tends to produce the top caliber of candidate. I know it's a sort of large job board that he was saying doesn't produce quality, but we've had a great deal of luck with Craigslist. I'm wondering what his view on that is.
Thank you very much.
Craigslist does tend to perform better, and I believe it or not, Andy, I consider Craigslist a smaller job board. I think it tends to attract people who are a little bit more serious, a little bit more savvy about using the Internet. It's not really viewed as a job board. It's more sort of a community buying and trading and meeting people area. So I'm not at all surprised with that. Your comment about objectives is absolutely dead on. There's a little article on AskTheHeadHunter.com titled Put a Free Sample in Your Resume. That basically says, rather than using an objective statement, which is generic, anyone who reads it and it says, I want to work with great people and advance my career in a good environment, so what? Instead, turn that into a value offered statement that basically says, I've studied your company, or it shows that you've studied the target company a bit, and what you want to do is explain how you're going to help bring additional success and profit to this company's bottom line. Very, very different from an objective.
All right. We're going to run out of time in a couple of minutes. I want to mention to our listeners that Nick, in addition to running AskTheHeadHunter.com and his latest book, How to Work with Headhunters, was nice enough after last week's show to hang around on our webpage and answer some of your questions that you're posting to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Maybe we can get you to do that again this week for a few of the questions anyway, or at least get back to the board, and we will keep having Nick on every Thursday for the rest of this month in his Ask the Headhunter series, part of our ongoing service to our unemployed listeners. But let's get one more in here on job boards. Aura in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC, real quick.
Yeah, hi. I had two comments. One was that I did get my job by posting on Monster.com, and I think that probably it has a lot to do with what you're looking for. I'm a physical therapist, and they like to gobble us up pretty quick. So.
Absolutely. You're booming.
Yeah. A little push for PTs. But the other observation was that just a couple of weeks ago, I think you had a recruiter for some company on talking about what she looks for. And she said that, you know, the snail mail resume comes in and goes directly into the recycling bin, that she doesn't even bother because she's got so many resumes online to look at. She doesn't even bother looking at the snail mail.
Nick, real quick.
What I would say to you is I have a problem with that kind of recruiter because they're processing bulk. They're not very focused. I suggest to you that only about 5% of headhunters are worth working with. And that's because they're the ones who are actually focused on specific real assignments that they have from their client companies. They will read your snail mail.
Aura, good luck. Give me a 10-second answer to Mark in Manhattan, who are not going to have time to put on the air. He asks, since you like niche job boards, what do you think about paying to be on a niche job board?
I would never pay to be on any job board. The only job board I know that seems to be clean, there's one called LinkUp, which nowadays I think is the best board up there because it basically focuses on positions they get directly from companies.
So they've already got the positions.
they've already got the positions. But paying to be on a board, I look at the ladders, for example. There's a discussion on my Ask the Headhunter blog. There are over 100 postings from people who are complaining about the fact the ladders charges money, right, but does not deliver the jobs that they promise.
Nick Korkadilis, AskTheHeadhunter.com, and his new book, How to Work with Headhunters. He'll keep coming on to talk about looking for work for the rest of this month, once a week. Again, Nick, thanks so much.
Good to be with you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.